word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved in the God workman, and does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this evening to the doctrine of stumbling and stumbling blocks. We'll pick that from number 5, page 3 of our notes. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are either filled with God the Holy Spirit under His rulership, or we're under the rulership of our STA. How we get under the flesh is through personal sin and life. How we escape our condition as a POW in that respect is through the rebound technique, 1 John 1:9, of which the believer experientially is then forgiven in regards to their personal sins, known and unknown. All sins pass at the moment of confession in this regards, acknowledgement in regards to their sins, and otherwise are filled with God the Holy Spirit until they sin again, of which then they thus obviously rebound again if they want to sustain the spiritual grace that God has provided for each and every one of us to serve Him in regards to our Christian life. And this is obviously ultimately important with respect to studying God's Word, as we're commanded to test the spirits. How you know whether the spirit of which I operate with, under, in regards to my own teaching, and what I communicate to you is truth. You must be obviously filled with God the Holy Spirit Himself for your own personal protection and safety, and compare what I have to say with respect to truth of Bible doctrine, and that way we test the spirits. So with that in mind, we'll give you the opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, again we thank you for all that you have provided for mankind to have a relationship with you, to be delivered from eternal condemnation, and then to experience in its fullest capacity all that salvation ultimately is designed to produce for the individual in time, including all the eternal wealth and glory available for those who are truly positive. We ask once again this evening that you bless our positive volition as we seek to understand your plan so that we can effectively engage in the Christian life, serving you, and indeed honor you and glorify you according to your divine design. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we're reviewing the doctrine of stumbling and stumbling blocks. We put both ideas together as they are linked to one another, reviewing the doctrine by way of Peter's teaching in regards to the prescription of guaranteeing of not ever permanently stumbling or going into reversionism is by way of maintaining the proper spiritual virtues in our Christian life, as he is taught in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, under this doctrine, there are two notions that one must grasp in regards to appreciating this doctrine. First and foremost, there are two kinds of stumbling, degrees of stumbling, if you will. There is stumbling that is incidental, or stumbling that one recovers from, and then there is a more permanent type of stumbling of which recovery is not made in regards to the individual, bringing about obviously sin unto death and eternal condemnation for the unbeliever, or loss of rewards in regards to the believer. And likewise, there are two different kinds of stumbling blocks. There are legitimate stumbling blocks, that which is righteous, that which is non-sinful. These are stumbling blocks that are in line with God, His plan, and they are set forth and cause those who are negative to stumble with respect to fulfilling God's plan for their life. Jesus Christ, as example, was a stumbling block to the nation Israel as they stumbled over Him in rejection of His person as Messiah in unbelief. And that stumbling, as we have brought out, as a nation, is not permanent, even though for individuals it has been. As a nation is not permanent, for they will once again arise as a nation with a remnant of positive volition and carry forward God's plan as we know, with respect to the tribulation and the second advent period. So there are legitimate stumbling blocks that are set before negative volition, and the truth of Bible doctrine causes people to stumble in this regard, and their repudiation of it, rejection of it. And then there are sinful or non-legitimate stumbling blocks. Obviously, these are the ones that people generally will focus in on, pay attention to. These types of stumbling blocks are promoted as such through false teachers, false teaching, STA activity, sinful activity. One's own STA can cause oneself to stumble, and other aspects in regards to a violation of God's word and his plan, such as making issues out of non-issues in regards to Christian life with respect to weaker believers, especially who are needing more time and grace to get the truth of God's word, the freedoms in Christ, etc., in this respect. Now, Roman numeral 5, where we left off, addresses reasons for personal stumbling. Reasons for personal stumbling. Why one stumbles. Just as a lack of light in the physical world may eventuate in stumbling. Spiritual darkness produces stumbling. Obviously, spiritual principles are emulated, if you will, imitated in regards to the physical things in life, and stumbling is of no exception. And just as one is trying to gets up in the middle of the night, no light, trying to find the restroom someplace they don't know, and they stub their toe and things of this nature because there is no light, they stumble in this regards. Lack of light is a detrimental aspect in regards to stumbling, and so it is in the spiritual world, where lack of divine viewpoint and human viewpoint under the STA produces stumbling. Proverbs 4:18 and 19. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. When the light first comes up, one's fresh and clear in the morning and can see all the things around them. That shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The more doctrine you get as spiritual progress moves forward in regards to the Christian life, the more divine viewpoint you have, the brighter and clearer things are in regards to the issues in the world and with respect to the Christian life. At verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. It's the opposite. They do not know over what they stumble. Their ignorance, obviously, places them in a condition of naivety, even in regards to the fact that they don't even recognize their simple ways of life, because they do not recognize and embrace God's viewpoint with respect to the matter. So Proverbs 4:18-19, John 11, verse 10. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. A spiritual metaphor in regards to the void of divine viewpoint, not resident within the individual. And to walk under the STA, under the human viewpoint option, in contrast to God's thinking in life, places one in a similar situation, meandering through the night and constantly falling over things because they can't see where they're going in regards to their life. 1 John 2:11. Example of darkness is Operation STA here under the idea of hating, disregard in regards to another, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. One is not in the spiritual condition of the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. They're not applying the divine viewpoint with respect to the situation and forgiving others in this respect. And they obviously, in their course of life, are walking under the concept of human viewpoint darkness as their course of life, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And that's the soulish eyes, the will of the individual that seeks to then go with the nature, the sin nature, in this respect, rather than overruling it and applying Bible doctrine. So B, so examples of spiritual darkness correlating with physical darkness. B, another reason for personal stumbling is simply arrogance. To be arrogant. Proverbs 16:18. Arrogance underwrites essentially all ST activity. As one considers their needs or the needs of God in regards to their life as imperative. Proverbs 16:18, pride or arrogance goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. To get under arrogance, to think that one knows best in spite of what God's plan says otherwise, to operate and maintain this mental attitude in regards to life only sets one up for a big fall, a fall that ultimately will be extremely painful for the believer. That pain will be encapsulated in shame at the bema. Jeremiah 50:32. In regards to Jeremiah 50, is prophetic dual prophecy. It looks at prophetic Babylon, which is the United States in the last days, and the arrogance of Babylon and the destruction that ultimately she is destined to face. And one of the primary reasons in regards to the fall of our nation is based on the principle of arrogance. And the arrogant one will stumble and fall with no one to raise him up. And this country goes down the tubes. It is permanent. And it will be marked for all posterity for the remainder of the existence of the history of this planet as a reminder in regards to the evil of which this country has sponsored and does sponsor and will continue to sponsor in retaliation, repudiation of God's divine directive of nationalism, let alone in regards to the support, legally and otherwise, of the great merchants who are ramrodding the New World Order. It behooves you to investigate different news resources in regards to the happenings going on in the Middle East. You may find that it's deeper than simply civil unrest in regards to certain countries, but that there is a design plan behind countries who otherwise are unwilling to align up in regards to the New World Order and the regime that is being sought to be established in this regards. Those who have historically at least maintained a facsimile of peace with Israel over the years are in danger of losing their position, and no telling what we'll get out of all this in this regards. But we can also find happiness and joy in this as God's plan is progressing, taking us closer and closer to when finally retribution will be brought upon this world on behalf of all positive volition otherwise. C, another reason for personal stumbling is failure under the GAP system, race apparatus perception, failure to be in fellowship and utilize it for all intents and purposes for the assimilation, understanding and reprogramming our minds with the mind of Christ. So one, failure to listen to the truth. Obviously, if one is not willing to give it an ear, what grounds of conversation do you really have with respect to people? And otherwise, if one is unteachable, under arrogance, thinking that they know better or do not need to know Bible doctrine under the regime that God has established by divine design. Both are examples in cases of people failing to listen to the truth. Jeremiah 6:19-21 is part of the reason why Israel got into their own troubles and their history, adhering to false prophets, etc. Here, O earth, verse 19, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. Obviously, the prophet Jeremiah is one of many that was sent to Israel to warn them of their dereliction, spiritually as a nation and otherwise, failure to line up with God's plan for them as a nation. And as we know, their history is simply disregard the words of these positive individuals or otherwise kill them and get them out of their way, as their history is. And the reason, one of the primary reasons that instigates God's wrath upon them is their failure to give His word an ear and to listen and utilize it for His purposes. And as for my law, they have rejected it also. Not only will they not listen, but they repudiate in regards to the Mosaic law and how they are to operate and function as a nation. For what purpose does frankincense come to me from Sheba? The sweet came from a distant land. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, as they substitute their own approach in regards to religiosity rather than God's plan for them in this respect. And while they genuflect and do all the religious motions that characterize even many Christians, they give God lip service, if you will. Their heart is far from Him. It's one of my favorite sayings. These people, they're give me lip service, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, people can talk doctrine all day long, but truly, where is their soul in justification? That's the word I'm looking for. In parallel, I guess that'll work. In regards to truly God's plan for their life. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, and your sacrifices are not pleasing to me. 21, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am laying stumbling blocks before this people, and they will stumble against him. Fathers and sons together, neighbor and friend will perish. And the stumbling blocks is a provision of positive individuals, otherwise, who are communicating the truth of Bible doctrine to the nation Israel. So, you know, as positive believers, communicators included, we are stumbling blocks to those who repudiate God's word that will otherwise may listen to it, but they don't really take it seriously, and they reject it otherwise in their lives. So if you've not ever thought of yourself that way, you can think of it now. Two, obviously failure to believe then and apply the truth. It's one thing to give it an ear, but then you must embrace it under faith, positive volition, believe it, and then you've got to apply it. 1 Peter 2:8. As Peter refers to Christ as a righteous stumbling block in regards to the Jews, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble. Why? Because they are disobedient to the word. To this doom they were also appointed. As God in eternity past predetermined the conditions of negative and positive volition and what their outcomes ultimately would be. So D, religious reversionism. It's amazing all the different kinds of religions that have existed in history and exist today. And apart from true Christianity, these religions are bogus and are only attempts of others to make God into what they want him to be, rather than to embrace him for what he is. Jeremiah 18:15. For my people have forgotten me. Again, Israel as example. They burn incense to worthless gods as they got into pagan religions, mostly to stimulate prophetic senses in regards to people. That's a lot of reasons why pagan religion occurred in that regards, their mysticism, to satisfy their mysticism. And they have stumbled, verse 15, continuing, they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths to walk in bypaths, not on a highway, taking their own path, course in life, religiously, rather than the smooth highway, the straight and narrow that God has established for them. Inordinate attraction and infatuation with the cosmos. Obviously, we've got to live in the world. There's nothing wrong with utilizing the world to benefit us in our sustenance, etc. But to become over-infatuated with it, with people, things of this nature, and turning these things into gods in your life, that is spiritually detrimental. Psalm 73:2-16. Psalm of Asaph, verse 1, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. As his target's a blessing, those who are positive. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. His own spiritual pressures of his own life, based on the distractions from his STA and the world around him, my steps had almost slipped. We face times in life where we're precarious spiritual situations. And he is reminiscing in this respect. For I was envious of the arrogant, this is why. And I saw the prosperity of the wicked. To get your eyes off what God has for you in regards to his plan and on the people around you, their conditions, it can be a great distraction to some STAs. And he got his eyes in that direction. For there are no pains in their death, their body is fat. They have the greatest care. Obviously, the wealthy, they're not restricted to, the low-end care provided by government and things of this nature. These wealthy people, they can go and travel all over the world and get the best care they can, etc. If they're facing death, you have all the drugs available to them, all because they have money. While the poor person, give them a couple of aspirin and tell them to sit back and shut up or whatever, their body is fat, looking at, obviously, the luxury of life that they live in and how they are able to satiate themselves physically through food and other things. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. They seem to be above the types of tests, etc., that normal common individual faces. Again, money, power provides you an escape from these types of living conditions. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and they think because, they become wealthy, They've attained these positions of power, that it's all based on who and what they are and that they're better than others. Many of these people are very condescending in regards to their attitude towards others. And their pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Recalling again the doctrine of pride that we reviewed not long ago. Violence is part of their protocol. A lot of these people will do unscrupulous things to others in order to attain to their positions of power. A dog-eat-dog mentality, survival of the fittest, you know, all these things that the world promotes. Their eyes bulges from fatness. That looks at the immense wealth that a lot of people have. And it also kind of expresses their constant, insatiable desire for more. The imaginations of their heart run riot, amok. It's chaotic in regards to their thinking. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. I don't need God. I got the almighty dollar. I got my position of power. I've got the people that work for me. Somebody gets my way, and I'll just pay somebody $10,000 and have them go get hit, you know, get rid of them, get them out of the way, or whatever shenanigan they may pull in regards to, you know, defacing the reputation of others who may stand for the truth, etc. This happens all the time in the political circles especially. Therefore, as people return to this place, verse 10, and waters of abundance are drunk by them, and they say, how does God know, and is there knowledge with the Most High? Questioning God, His person, and really what is knowledge, you know, in contrast to their rejection of divine viewpoint. Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease they have increase in wealth. And a lot of times that's the way it is. People that are wealthy become wealthy, and they have family. Family marries into wealth. It's common practice for wealth to marry wealth. And I've seen that in my professional days in circles. Owner's grandson of our company, who ultimately became a billionaire, he married into another billionaire, the Loves, conglomerate in regards to his life. You know, it's amazing. Nothing goes wrong, it seems like. But truly, when you get to know these people, you can see the discord that's going on in regards to their mind, if you're astute to it. But otherwise, the overt appearance looks completely opposite. You know, people that have these things, you know, what do they have? They have just as much misery. They have the same common human problems we do. They just got money to throw at it. 12, behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, they have increased in wealth. 13, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. You know, his SCA is trying to argue with you, see. You know, where's my blessing? Where's my blessing? Well, it's getting your eyes off eternity and onto temporal in this respect. And it's all vanity. It's what is SCA trying to convince you. I'll never get ahead if I stay this regiment in regard to Bible class. I won't be able to do what I want to do in life and truly appreciate life because I'm going to restrict myself to, you know, going to this little garage three times a week for Bible doctrine. You want to shortchange God, feel free, but you'll miss out. And wash my hands in innocence. That looks at his consistent application to rebound. For I've been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said I will speak like them, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of your children. In other words, now he's looking in regards to if he had capitulated, catered, and tried to mold himself into the crowd, blend into this crowd, then what he's going to do is injustice to other positive volition. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. And that obviously helped him bring around his thinking that obviously you can go that direction, but you become an enemy of God, you become an enemy of his children. So the keeping your eyes off the world, off the rich and famous and all these things, while it may be fun and titillating on occasion to, you know, fantasize, you can't let your mind wander. Keep yourself in touch with reality otherwise. F, obviously, STA activity in general. Hosea 5:5 is an example of STA activity rationalized and not dealt with. rationalize your SCA in many different ways. Well, I'm going to sin anyway. Okay. But that's not really a sin. You know, that passage is not really teaching it real clear. Okay. Amazing other people can understand it. Hosea 5:5. Find the book here. Moreover, the pride of Israel testifies against him, and Israel and Ephraim stumbled in their iniquity. Judah also had stumbled with them. But everybody else had done it. So let's go do it. That's part of rationalizing the FTA. I saw the pastor drink too much one time. I can do that all the time. Don't be an idiot. Just because I was an idiot once. Okay, twice. The failure to apply under the filling of the Holy Spirit, under divine love. 1 John 2, 9-11. But the one who hates his brother again is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, out of fellowship. Does not know where he's going because he's blind spiritually in that condition. The one who loves his brother, verse 9 through 11. That was verse 11. 9, the one who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He can't be under your STA and be in fellowship at the same time. It's impossible. It's either or. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. Alright, another cause of stumbling is persecution. Pressure of the cosmos upon you to capitulate. Give in regards to their way of thinking, their lifestyles, etc. John 16:1. Christ tells his disciples, these things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. Divine viewpoint is that which keeps you on the straight and narrow, keeps you focused, spiritually intact, and that in spite of the persecution that will come upon people in sometimes the most severest of ways, such as verse 2, they will make you outcast from the synagogue. He gives a reason why, divine viewpoint and the stumbling in view. But an hour is coming from everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. Imagine being that blind in life. Saul, Paul as Saul, was that blind in his negative volition. He thought he was doing God a service. He thought he was doing God's will. Don't let people throw you in regards to their commitment, you know, that they proclaim and how adamant they may be about it. You have the ammunition, you have the means to check what they are doing, and that is the truth of Bible doctrine. Apart from that, there is no other avenue, no resource to check and see whether people are truly serving God or not, unless you believe that God wrote, you know, all these other books that are floating out there that people use. Alright, Roman numeral 6. God has made provision so that the believer need not stumble. Well, we all will. It's not that we have to. It's just a matter of reality. He has provided Bible doctrine to prevent stumbling. Just as we saw in regards to Christ's word, Psalm 119. Verse 165. Those who love your law have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. The ones who let it know it to begin with, and they adhere to it. Proverbs 3:13-26. How How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, no matter what overt circumstances may speak in regards to one's life. If you're adhering to NPR and you're assimilating the truth, in God's eyes, He considers you blessed. For His profit is better than the profit of the silver. That's because of what is ultimately producing. Form of SG3, etc. And it's gained than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels. Wisdom, being personified as a woman. And nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. And in her left hand are riches and honor. But this is all ultimate. And it's all mostly reserved for eternal state, even though not necessarily always. Phase 2 blessing is also part of God's plan. Her ways are pleasant ways, but this is what wisdom brings to the individual, and all her paths are peace. Well, you may get under SGA. Arguments and things may ensue. If you apply Bible doctrine to the situation, peace is reestablished. If there's conflict in the household, it's simply because SGA is not being isolated somewhere. Either in one case or both cases. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And that looks at eternal life. It looks at life that is free from the absolute constraints of the SGA. Thinking of the tree of life in the garden. And happy are all who hold her fast. That's inner happiness. The joy that comes about through understanding. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. God's genius is that which is behind our creation. Which all it takes is a little scientific knowledge to understand truly the genius of God. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew, understanding completely how nature would function that He created. My son, let them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Discretion denotes keeping yourself separate and distinct from that which is obviously not in line with wisdom. So they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck, in contrast to the pride of the wealthy. In your humility before God, then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Good night's rest means getting in fellowship and recognizing that, you know, you're in God's plan, etc., and be able to faith rest. And there is definite emotional benefits that are attached to that. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The snares of negative volition is trying to cause you to stumble in regards to your own life. As they throw in their own obstacles, stumbling blocks, because they do not appreciate Bible doctrine. They repudiate it otherwise. And a lot of times it comes out in anger towards those who continue to hold to it. And how that anger is expressed can be in many different ways. B, the adjusted communicator attempts to brief those under his charge as to the realities of the angelic conflict, so they may avoid stumbling. Again, just as Jesus made the reality of the future of positive volition, his followers, the persecution that many of them would face, and even actual martyrdom. So the adjusted communicator doesn't try to gloss over the realities of life just to appeal to people in numbers, etc. You tell it like it is. This is Bible doctrine. This is God's plan. This is what you can expect. And you can expect suffering in your Christian life. So see, therefore, it is occupation with the truth that mitigates against one stumbling. Rather than Bible doctrine, occupation with Christ, Bible doctrine, is the ammunition we have to keep ourselves from stumbling, especially in a permanent way. John 11, 9 and 10. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" In regards to the Jews who were just trying to stone him, kill him, their Messiah. If anyone walks in the day, he responds, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. And he's explaining that they are negative and hence they are stumbling over the truth that he's proclaiming, and their antagonism, animosity comes out. And that means that they are negative and their reaction to the truth is overt evidence. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because light is not in him. So occupation with the truth mitigates against one stumbling. Be faith resting situations to the Lord instead of pursuing your own course of action and attempting to advance or deliver yourself from then stumbling. Faith rest is exactly what it sounds like. You put your trust in God and relax. RMA, relaxment, latitude, in regards to your situation in life, that the God does have complete control. Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. Obviously, we have to apply the doctrine in regards to any situation that's before us. But when things are out of our hands, out of our control, etc., what else are you going to do? Try to crank something up and make things happen rather than just faith rest and let God bring things to pass. Continue to pray about it. If you're not taking bringing God into the equation at all in regards to your pursuits in life, obviously that's a big misstep. At least you ought to be doing is praying about it as you're engaging in the energy of the flesh. Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired? His understanding is inscrutable. It's unsurpassable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, the vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. As God intercedes on their behalf and stay in the course in regards to their Christian life. Instead of being under sin fear, adopting the attitude that God's not for me anymore, as the Jews tend to do. E, the doctrine of separation keeps the path clear of impediments or obstacles that would trip the believer. The importance of applying separation is apropos with respect to avoiding stumbling. Proverbs 4, 14 through 19. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Stay aloof, stay separate from it. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. That's negative volition. Avoid it, do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. Can't get much clearer than this. Don't even think about it. That's why he's saying, don't even think about this. Align yourself up with these people with negative volition, embracing them. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They're preoccupied, obviously, with their SCA. To satiate their own flesh and desires, sinful desires, obviously. And they are wrought to sleep unless they make someone stumble. STA likes, like STAs. And they tend to gravitate, STAs tend to gravitate towards like STAs. And, to freak people out, as we used to say in the old days, to cause people to stumble in regards to actions that you do, and get other people involved to be as stupid as you are, you know, all these things. And constantly scheming in regards to perpetuating this pursuit of happiness that constantly remains aloof because it's pursued down the wrong road and path of life. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Many of these types are the violent kind, brawlers. They go out and get drunk, start a fight, and all these other things. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Again, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Then compare 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You think you're over, beyond that, you're above that? Test God and see what happens. I speak as if insane. Roman numeral 7. Now, this section deals with degrees of stumbling. As we noted, there are different degrees in which one may stumble. A, just as one can catch their foot in the physical realm for any number of reasons, so spiritual stumbling can occur in a number of ways. Again, James 3:2, we all stumble in many ways. Not just in a few, but in many ways. Many different ways that your STA can find to express itself, and the distraction of other STAs around you in the cosmos itself solicit you that many ways is the potential. And we succumb to many areas of this as believers. The believer is to pray for God's deliverance from any situation that would permanently cause him to fall. Obviously, we recognize the cold hard facts of the Christian life that we all will sin, but that all volition's desire is to cut it short and not allow it to ever impede their spiritual advance and rob them of the prize. Matthew 6:13. In regards to the model prayer, praying that Christ taught his disciples is for God to not lead us into temptation, to the solicitation of evil, but deliver us from it. To protect us in regards to getting involved in STA things that our STA may be exceptionally weak towards. Keep us away from certain kinds of people that our STA may have a strong trend towards in regards to their own SC activity. Pray in regards to relationships in that respect. See, there are various degrees of stumbling. That is, from losing your balance momentarily to a stumble that produces complete collapse and fall. D, the positive adjusting believer is supported by the Lord and can recover from any stumble. It's a matter of getting your spiritual act back together, recognizing erroneous action and rebounding it, and applying doctrine and instead. Proverbs 24, and 15 and 16. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place, for a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. But the wicked stumble in time of calamity, because they do not have the type of volition that will bring them over the cause of stumbling. See, that was D. E. An example of losing your balance. would be reacting again to the prosperity of the cosmos, as we saw the one passage earlier. Psalm 73, let's see if that's the same one. F, however you are to bring doctrine to bear on the matter, rebound your foolishness and move on. Again, Psalm 73, particularly verse 17. G, more severe stumbling occurs when one does not bring doctrine to bear on the issue and runs with the SGA. Dig yourself in a bigger hole, essentially. Matthew 26, 30-34. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." The reason why is because these men were dull spiritually, rejected the necessity of Christ's work on the cross. And when the time came, they're a bunch of bunch of little girls running. "But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter obviously takes issue with Jesus. But Peter answered and said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." As we know in regards to that situation, the arrogance that one, you know, is set in stone in regards to not going under, getting under the SGA. Probably many of us can think back of making implications if they're not explicitly, "Oh, I wouldn't do that." And then the situation comes up and you find yourself doing it. You go, "Boy, I'm glad I wasn't thinking of something else." H, if one does not bring forth and apply Bible doctrine that they have, some situations may eventually do them in. Luke 8:13-14. In regards to the parable of the soil and those on the rocky soil, believers who do not have much depth of positive volition are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns. Another class of believers who are a little bit more positive. They hang in there with it longer. But they too do not have the kind of positive volition that will carry them to the end. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. They don't complete their course. That's the emphasis behind that. So the distractions of the cosmos. And, when one does not grab the, if you will, proverbial bull by the horns and deal with it with doctrine, and they find themselves, next thing you know, neutralized in regard to spiritual advance, 1 Timothy 6, 9. "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and snare, and many stupid and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil." It's not the root. That's the way people like to throw this at you. "The love of money is the root of all evil." No, it's not the root, it's a root. It's one of the avenues. Many other ways one can engage in evil. For which some, that is one of the more prevalent things that are dangled before people in regards to distracting them from title doctor. All sorts of evil from which by longing for it have wandered, some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a sorrow. That's what pain means. Sorrow. I, failure to make the maturity adjustment, is a permanent form of stumbling. The kind of stumbling that we all want to avoid at all costs. Philippians 1:10. So that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless. That literally, as I brought out there, that word blameless, until the day of Christ, that means without stumbling. Noun, oproskopos. J, the antidote or prescription to avoid fatal stumbling, that is reversionism, is to sustain the virtues of spirituality throughout life. And that's what Peter brought out as guarantee to avoid reversionism. And our time's up, so we'll just pick this up Sunday and finish it up and get into our doctrine of reversionism. Two fun doctrines, so let's go back. Stumbling and reversionism. Oh boy, that's cool. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit lighten us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.